Well, good morning. I will apologize at the very beginning. I have a speech impediment. I was born in Hannibal, Missouri, and grew up in Pike County, Illinois. Now, that may not sound like much of a speech impediment, but if you've ever read Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, that was the language I learned to speak as a kid. And I have been working on it, and I have discovered that what we speak in America is not English. So bear with me. This morning I do have a little object lesson, and it's all about thinking. The first thing that happened when we got here, we went through the gate to get our pass, and the gentleman who was manning the gate looked at me, looked at my age on my app, my passport, and said, "You're not going to drive, are you?" Now, I didn't understand, but now I do. I have seen all kinds of signs in this country, and the only one I recognize is this one. So I need somebody to help me. All right, you're the first one. Raise your hand. Come right up here. Okay. What's your name?
Nadia.
Nadia. Okay, Nadia. I have what is this?
A stoplight.
A stoplight. All right. Okay. What colors do we have?
Red, yellow, and green.
Red, yellow, and green. Okay. So. We're going to put these in my envelope here. Okay. Now, you remember what those colors were, right? Okay, step up here. Okay. Hold the envelope. Okay. Now, what was one of the colors?
Red.
Red. You know, the Bible is like a traffic light for us. It tells us the things that we better stop doing. It says, what? Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't hate. A lot of things that we need to not do in our life. What's another color?
Yellow.
Yellow? Well, what's another color?
Green.
Green. Okay. A green light tells you that we need to do things. It says we need to forgive. We need to love. Here's the biggie. Honor and obey your parents. I thought I would get more applause than that. All right. So, what have we got left?
Yellow.
Are you sure?
And the wrong way.
Yeah. Okay. So, I wonder what happened to the yellow.
Oh, flip.
Oh, you I can't do a flip here. I'll hurt myself if I tried to do a flip. Oh, flip it over?
No.
Oh, you think it's on the... I need to turn it around? Okay, I turned it around. You're sure it's on the other side, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, you know what? You're wrong again. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And Proverbs 27:3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and He will direct your paths. As we follow what God's Word says, it will always lead us the right way and keep us from the wrong way. Give Nadia a big hand, okay? And kids, upstairs. I want to talk to us this morning concerning what I believe is the greatest challenge that is facing us in the church today. And that is wrong thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is going on in the side of us is controlled by what we concentrate and think on. And in the world that you and I live in, can I just tell you, it's messed up. I mean, we're riding along with Jamie, and why do you people plant gardens in the middle of intersections? I mean, a stop sign is much cheaper, I'm sure. And why do you drive on the other side of the road? You know, all of these things are, I'm finding my whole world is turned upside down. The only thing that really makes sense is that you drive miles an hour. That I understand. In the world that you and I live in, what the world sets as standards, what it offers as the direction for us, is so contrary to what it needs to be in our life. You see, if you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, then you no longer belong to this world. You have been born into the kingdom of God. And this is a completely different and foreign to everything that is offered by the world that you and I live in. This morning, we want to look at that. We want to think about that, because not only is that the case, but I believe with all of my heart that you and I are living in the last days of time. Absolutely the closing hours of time. I take my watch off here, you know. I'm reminded of the story. There was a little boy that had the opportunity to be in Big People Church for the first time. And all during the service, he would ask his dad what this meant and what that meant. You know, why you do this and why you do that. And as the pastor began to speak, he took off his watch and carefully laid it on the pulpit. And the little boy said, Dad, what does that mean? The father looked at him and said, just like this, absolutely nothing. That clock back there, I cannot see. I don't know if you are fortunate that I'm blind or what, but my daughter charged my battery and she said, I got a half hour, that's it. Then she cuts me right off. You and I are living in the closing days of time. Paul looked forward and he warned Timothy about that. And in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy as you would say here, he gives in chapter 3 this, starting with verse 1 through verse 5, he lists everything that's going on in the world that you and I live in today. And in verse 5, he says these words, they will have a form of godliness, but deny its power, have nothing to do with them. The world today is very religious in some regards. But the power, the authority of God's word, of Jesus Christ in their life to be the Lord, to be the one who directs them, is not there. I don't know how it is here, but I will tell you in America, if you don't like one church, just go down the block and you find another one. And you can keep shopping around. We live in the Quad Cities. This is American logic for you, okay? It's the Quad Cities. What does quad mean? Four. Yeah, there's nine cities that make up the Quad Cities. Apparently, at one time, there was just four, but it grew, and they don't want to change the signs. But in that community, I've offered the other pastors, say, look, we need to issue a church passport. That way, when people come to your church and visit, you can look at their passport and decide how long they're going to be there. And it'll probably be till the day that you say something they don't like. Because they will go and find. In America now, you can, if you can't find a church that preaches what you want, for $25, you can get your own credentials and have your own church. And if you argue with the pastor there, you've got a real problem. Think about it. But we are living in that day and that age today. As we've driven around, and somebody said, have you had a chance to go anyplace? We've been everywhere, folks. In fact, I don't know where all we've been. I keep being a calendar, so I'll remember where we've been. But there's one thing that I have noticed. There are churches, beautiful, magnificent churches everywhere.
that are selling used clothes, that are apartment buildings, that are being used for absolutely everything under the sun except preaching and ministering the Word of God. It tells me once there was something there was something alive, but it's been left behind. And it breaks my heart. Paul told Timothy, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. These things, they're very troubling. And there's something that we could take and say, well, thank God I'm not like them. I thank God I'm not in their shoes. But Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, he said this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, we can deceive ourselves. We can fool ourselves by comparing ourselves with others. My family is they're different, okay? On my mother's side, I'm a tall guy. On my father's side, I'm a shrimp. Now, when I hang out with the pals, I feel like I'm standing in a hole. So I hang out with the Halls and the Burdicks because I feel like a giant. If I compare myself with the short people, I'm looking pretty good. But when I compare myself to those who are 6'3" and they're the short person, I'm under limit size. So I don't like that. And none of us like that. But this morning I want to get our attention. And I want to get our focus. Because wrong thinking will destroy us. April 15th, 1912. Over 1,500 people lost their lives because the people who designed, the people who built, the people who sailed, and even the people who bought the tickets believed a lie. They believed the Titanic was unsinkable. And it never finished its maiden voyage. You can believe a lie. I can go to the scripture. Eve looked at that tree, and that fruit looked good. It looked delicious. And she believed if she ate, she would be as smart as God. And all the evil and all the hurt and all the pain that you and I face in this world was released because she believed a lie. So how do we safeguard ourselves? What can we do to protect ourselves? You ask good questions. Romans chapter 12. Turn there. Verses 1 and 2. Now I can tell you, I could spend 2 weeks right in these two verses because there's so much there today for us. But I'm not going to do that. Aren't you relieved? Because my battery's going to die in 14 more minutes. What I want to do today is send you home with hunks to chew on. I want to send you home with stuff that you can dig into and meditate on and allow you to consume it and to receive it at the rate that you can eat. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. Father God, in these next few moments, help us hear clearly from You and receive from You what we individually need in our lives. And not just to receive that truth, but that truth will seize us and change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The first step is to present yourself. You have to do it. No one can bring you. No one can offer you but you. You see, this is the thing with a living sacrifice. It is alive. It has free choice. It can make decisions. Heard one fellow said the biggest problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. And that is the case because there's a cost. Jesus said, let a man count the cost. What it's going to cost to truly be that man or that woman of God. We can go through the act. We can go through the process. We can put on a front. We can do all the things without being sacrificed, given completely to Him. It's not a one-time event. It has to happen every day. Every morning we get up, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? How do you want to use my life? I'm yours, Lord. Whatever you want, direct me. Guide me. There's a lot of horses in the United States, and I like to ride. I'm no good. I'll be honest. I learned to ride on my cousin's ponies, and they were the kind that you had to pull the front end around. You know, if you wanted to go this way, you better really want to go this way. Down in New Mexico, lady had a beautiful Arabian horse. She said, Pastor, why don't you ride? I'm out there in my suit. Hey, I'm game. Back in the old days when we all had to wear suits, white shirts and ties. Praise God, that day is gone. I get up on this Arabian and we start trotting across the corral, and man, I'm having a great time, and I'm getting ready to turn, and I start to pull the front end around. I'd never been on a horse that neck reined before, and I wasn't on that one very much longer. He went that way, I went that way. When I stopped rolling, he was standing there looking at me like, huh, what are you doing over there? You see, that horse was anticipating a direction. He wasn't waiting for me to make him turn. He was, when I got on him, he's ready to go. Which way is he going to go? Which way is he going to go? I want to go that way. And that's what we need to be in our life. Not that God has to drag us around to do something, but He gives us that small voice, that little nudge. Give this person a call. Go talk to that person. Listen. Do this, do that. He gives us those little things to guide us. If we are sacrificed, if we are living in sacrifice, then it's no big deal. It's a reasonable service. Reasonable? Yes. He died for me. I know you'll all find this hard to believe, but when I was a child growing up, I was active. If my dad had known about Ritalin, he'd have bought a 55-gallon drum, had it with an IV tapped into my arm. You know, if I was hanging out with adults, which I usually was, that seemed like the only place my parents went. They didn't take me to go play with kids, but, you know, adults are boring. They just stand around and they talk. I would find some way to liven the place up. We'd have fun. We'd really be having a lot of fun. And then my dad would come over and lean down and whisper in my ear, because my dad loved me, "When we get home, you're going to get what you deserve." At that moment, I would have gone home with a mass murderer. I knew what I deserved, and I knew my dad meant what he said. I earned it. It's what I deserved. And you know what we all deserve? God's eternal judgment. You say, "Oh, I've not been very bad." Hey, it doesn't matter how not very bad you've been. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. What did my sin cost? God's Son dying on a cross in my place. How could I do anything less than give Him myself? It's reasonable. And it's the best. We got to stop conforming with the world. I just got to keep chopping these up. But folks, I may have a little more time. Okay, maybe this battery's going to last longer. If we look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, think like the world, smell like the world, we're not a Christian. Back home we say, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. And we can put whatever name we want. We can try to disguise it. We can try to fake it. But it'll change. If we are going to be that man, that woman of God, we have got to be changed. We've got to be different. If we fit in, something's wrong. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, it's like some of those diets that really work. You know the ones? If you take a bite and it tastes good, you got to spit it out. If we fit in, we got to spit that out. We are not of this world. We are the kingdom of God. How does that happen? It happens as our minds are transformed. We got to think different. We've got to think like a citizen of the kingdom of God. 2 years ago, I don't know if it swept over here, but in the United States, it was just crazy. The armbands, the T-shirts, the headbands, the hats, the everything. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And folks, that is the most powerful truth that we can ask ourselves every single time. Every decision. What would Jesus do here? How would He react? How would He respond? What would He do in this situation? That'll give us direction on what we're to do. But you see, it's got to be more than just stopping and thinking and doing. We've got to become that. See? When we get back home in the Quad Cities, we have four circles. Roundabouts. And I know when I get home, I'm going to get killed. Because I now know how you're supposed to do a roundabout. If you come to America and you come to a roundabout, be on guard, folks. Because they don't know what to do. Share, that person's got, no way, I'm here. You know. Now I guarantee you, when I get to the first roundabout, I'm still going to have to stop and think. Because for over 50 years, I've driven and never had to deal with a roundabout. We had stop signs, we had corners, we have logic. I have to be internally different in the kingdom of God. How does that happen? In the Word? The Word will show us things, how we're to look at things. But just obeying the Word isn't enough. I've got to be changed. My heart's got to be changed. I can take a pig, I can scrub it up, I can put a bow on in its hair, I can put perfume on it so it doesn't stink like a pig. But I guarantee you, in 15 minutes, it'll be a pig all over again. Because the heart isn't changed. It's still a pig at heart. I got to be changed in here. And so it's more than just the Word. I got to want to. Like that one? I got to want to be changed. I weigh 2 pounds. The last time I stepped on a scale, I've been here 2 months, probably, and I haven't stepped on a scale once, so I'm doing great. I'm sure I've lost 10, 12 pounds at least till I step on the scale. I've been going on diets for the last 25 years. I usually go on for 2 weeks at a time. You know what I lose? 14 days. Why? Because I don't want to. I don't want to give up those things that make me weigh 200 pounds. Don't want to do that. And until I do, it's never going to happen. My wife can try to guard me, and she does. I can sneak off. I figure those, what she doesn't see me eat doesn't count. We laugh. But don't we do the same thing? As a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've walked up on people in the congregation and they go, "Ooh, hi, Pastor." Listen, if there's something in your life that you would not be doing and the pastor walked up, you're already in trouble. Somebody greater than the pastor has already seen you. He's already heard you in your heart when you thought about it and made the decision. We have to make that decision. What happens when we begin to do this? Suddenly, our eyes are opened and we can begin to see what God's will for our life is. You see, God's got a plan for your life that you can't even begin to imagine or believe. He's got ministry for you that your mind cannot even begin to fathom. And the only thing that is keeping us back from that is we're not walking in His will. Why? Because we don't know how to discern His will. I said I was born in Hannibal, Missouri. I grew up in Pittsville, Illinois. It's a little town. I mean, it's 5,000 on a big day, and the census people cheat. Okay? But it's the county seat, so it's the biggest thing in the county. It's 15 miles from the Mississippi River, 8 miles from the Illinois River. My house was a half a mile from the Old City Lake and a mile from the New City Lake. If you think that I might have spent a little time on the water, you're right. My father took me out on the rivers and taught me how to read the currents and to look for things that are under the water, that are snags or sandbars or things of that nature. He taught me how to discern those things. I wouldn't know otherwise. When I go out on a boat now, I don't even think about it because I know those dangers are there. I've been alerted to them. That's what God wants to do in our lives. As we read His word, as we seek His direction, as we allow His Spirit to guide us, because the Holy Spirit will. He will guide us if we listen. If we listen. So this morning, the challenge to us is to not be deceived. Not to be caught up in the world. But actively be seeking His direction and walking in obedience to it. Amen. Father God, I pray now. We've reached that point that we need to do something. You warned us not to be hearers of the word and then walk away and forget it. But that we need to put your word, allow your word to reign and rule in our lives. And this morning, that's what we ask for. Spirit, speak to us right now. In the name of Jesus, help us to be open, to be honest with ourselves, because that's where the change has got to start. Quicken our spirit right now. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed,